take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, April 24th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the weekend, everyone. Glad you made it here. We got 2 hours of the latest news, interviews, music, talk, controversy, opinion, rants. If it has to do with marijuana, we are going to talk about it here on the Russ Belville Show. If you joined us yesterday, we had quite an interesting, scintillating conversation with people that I like to call fundamentalist legalizers. These are the people who will not settle for anything less than true legalization. That's right. If it's not true legalization, if it doesn't let you have as much weed as you want, as much weed as you can grow, free all the pot prisoners, keep the prices down to 10 cents an ounce, something like that. Then it's not real legalization. We should all remain criminals just a few more years until we can get the true legalization passed. Well, we're going to talk about that some more today. I want to follow up on some of the concepts that we covered yesterday in our radical rant. Later today, we'll talk about the dangers of fundamentalism, true legalization edition. Also on the show today, we got time for a cannabis community chat. I'm going to bring you a recording that just brought a smile to my face. I thought it was perfect for a Friday. I was joined by a lovely young lady at the desk who goes by the name of Aviva. It's a palindrome, folks. And Aviva is with a group called the Flying Penguins, and she brought her ukulele to the Cannabis Cup and had to sing a little song for us. So you'll get to hear Aviva singing Cannabis Car, a nice little ditty that explains how hemp can make cars and the fuel for them. So we'll get to hear that song. Plus, you get to hear me singing a little a cappella bass with her, too. So there's that. Also on the show today, we've got some drug war data mining. And in the Atlantic today, they have a fantastic article puncturing the drug war gateway drug argument. You've heard this many times. Chris Christie is the most recent to bring it up. That if we legalize marijuana, the next thing you know, everybody's doing heroin. So the Atlantic took a look at this and has a really interesting interactive graphic. I am having the worst trouble talking today. Has an interactive graphic that we're going to go through and take a look at which drugs lead to which other drugs, at least according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Also on the show today, behind the headlines, there's a story that I'm sure Kevin Sabet and the antis out there in Colorado are going to jump on. I can't wait for Christine Tatum's post on this. A company that makes scary props for Halloween, you know, costumes and haunted houses and all that, has moved its location from Denver, Colorado to someplace in, I think it's North Carolina, and they claim it's because everybody was showing up to work high. There was just no workforce. They were all showing up to work high. We had to move to North Carolina. We had no choice because the whole workforce was high. Well, I did a little digging on this story, and in behind the headlines today, we're going to take a look at the real reasons this company moved its location from Colorado to North Carolina. But before we get to all of that, we've got the 420 radio news, and in the headlines today, we've got that bill up in Washington State that is going to decimate the medical marijuana program as it is known up in Washington. Governor Jay Inslee is expected to sign that today or tomorrow. We'll give you the latest developments and what that means for patients in Washington State. In Colorado, lawmakers are working on a proposal to keep most of the marijuana taxes that would be refunded to the taxpayers thanks to the Tabor Amendment in Colorado. In Alabama, there was a small Pyrrhic victory for medical marijuana, but the bill is pretty much dead for the year. We'll tell you why. We've got a father in Michigan who's fighting for his right to use medical marijuana and to get his son back from officials who took him over his medical marijuana use. And a study in New Jersey on the use of CBD oils for epilepsy should provide some hope to those patients in the no-garden state. I'm Radical Russ. We're right back after these messages.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Hey, this is Big Daddy. I want you cats to join me at the Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio. It's like the groove in Soul Town, smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, April 24th, 2015. Washington Governor Jay Inslee is expected to sign into law an overhaul of Washington's medical marijuana market that seeks to eliminate unregulated dispensary sales now that the state's recreational market is in place. Among the provisions of the measure Inslee was to sign today is the creation of a voluntary database of patients. Unregistered patients would only be allowed to possess the same amount of marijuana legalized for all adults in public, but they would be allowed to cultivate up to 4 marijuana plants and possess 6 ounces at home, unlike non-patients. Those who join the voluntary registry would get to possess 3 times the adult use limits and cultivate up to 15 plants and possess up to 16 ounces with their doctor's recommendation, or 4 patients could cooperatively cultivate 60 plants. The passage of Initiative 502 in 2012 allowed the sale of marijuana to adults for recreational use. Recreational businesses have complained that they're being squeezed by medical dispensaries that have proliferated in many parts of the state. Colorado lawmakers started work Wednesday on a proposal to ask voters to keep some $58 million in marijuana tax collections. Colorado voters already approved the taxes on recreational pot sales in 2013. But because that ballot measure didn't account for a quirk in state law related to new taxes, the money will have to be refunded unless voters again approve the 10% sales and 15% excise taxes. Colorado made a total of about $76 million from marijuana last year, but the refund is required only for the new sales and excise tax collections, which totaled $58 million. The measure approved by the House Appropriations Committee does more than just ask voters to keep the money, though. For example, the new pot tax measure would set aside $300,000 for the Colorado State Fair. It would also set up a new $2 million school bullying prevention fund. Other new items include $1 million for poison control centers. Medical marijuana legislation won a small victory in an Alabama Senate panel on Wednesday, but the longtime senator and chairman of the committee that sets the calendar for the floor says the bill is dead. Senator Jabbo Wagoner, Rules Committee chairman, said Alabama isn't ready for legislation that would allow patients with some chronic medical issues to purchase medical marijuana. Wagoner, who has served in the Alabama legislature for 49 years, said he will look at the legislation next year and the year after, but he doesn't think anything would change his mind on it this year. Senator Bobby Singleton's medical marijuana legislation received a favorable report with a 4-3 vote from the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday afternoon. Only Democrats voted in favor, and the measure likely only passed because 3 Republican members failed to attend and another abstained from voting. Max Lawrence is a father from Spring Lake, Michigan, who is fighting for his right to use medical marijuana and get his son back. He's a card-carrying patient, but was charged with a felony after a single smear of oil was found in his home. Like many card-carrying medical marijuana patients across the state, Lawrence is caught between his doctor's orders and a judge. Now his 5-year-old son is taken away, and he is left with only supervised visits. All of this because Lawrence called 911 in September for a family medical emergency. The deputy who responded to the call found a smear of butane hash oil in his home. It's a substance Lawrence ingests for what he called deep pain relief and is something he obtained with his medical marijuana card. Because Lawrence is charged with having a Schedule I drug, and not specifically marijuana, it is difficult to protect Lawrence under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. Patients with severe epilepsy who took a liquid form of a marijuana extract saw the number of seizures decline by half, while few suffered side effects, according to the early results of a study led by renowned neurologists at Trenton, New Jersey's St. Barnabas Medical Center. The study involved 213 people ranging in age from 2 to 26 who are diagnosed with debilitating seizure disorders and for whom other forms of treatment had failed. Out of that group, 137 patients took a daily dose for 12 weeks to see if cannabidiol reduced the frequency of their seizures. The number of seizures decreased by an average of 54% after 12 weeks. A total of 12 people stopped taking the drug due to side effects, which included drowsiness, diarrhea, and decreased appetite. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, April 24th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
.420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 after the hour, and today in Behind the Headlines, I'm taking a look at a story from 9 News, NBC affiliate in Denver, Colorado, that reads, Colorado company says pot pushed them out of state. The story is about a company called Little Spider Creations, and they're kind of a prop house. They make scary monsters and props for Halloween and other sort of scary parties, I suppose. They've been in Denver for 24 years, but the owner has recently moved the company to North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, why in the world did he take his company with 47 full-time employees out of Colorado? Well, the owner, Mark Brauner, says too many employees were coming in high after the drug was legalized for recreational use in 2012. He was firing too many people and made the decision to move. Quote, The main reason we pulled out was because of marijuana. Marijuana got into our industry. Half of the sculptors will come in high. As soon as we'd catch it, they'd be let go. We went through 25 sculptors. Only 5 of our sculptors either were quality or would show up unimpaired. End quote. He also says you could see a difference in employees' work when they were high. They were just not as productive and had an it's good enough attitude. Made the decision to move to South Carolina. Now, this brings up the question. You've been running this prop company for 24 years in Colorado, and only now you're noticing that some of your prop costume horror gore guys are high? Only now you're... It was legalization. Yeah, that's what did it. Legalization is what made all of these creative, artistic, goth types start using marijuana. That was it. It was legalization. I thought it smelled just a little bit, this story, like there was something missing here. So I decided to start digging, and I went to Myrtle Beach Online. I decided to see what the media was saying on the other side of this issue, the place that he moved to. The story there is entitled, Boo Comes to North Myrtle Beach, Props Company to Bring 35 Jobs. Oh, no, wait a minute. Wasn't it 47 jobs back in Colorado? Gee, it almost seems as if the company owner is trying to save some money on employee costs there. But let's keep looking. Props Company says, Mark Bronner will tell you how much cheaper it is to do business in South Carolina than Colorado, and how easy Sandy Davis of the Myrtle Beach Regional Economic Development Corporation made the move east for his company. Uh-huh. But the real reasons he's making scary sculptures in North Myrtle Beach are 2 feet in the sand and a book in a hand. My wife told me, this is the way I want to live. Oh, so now it's not so much that your employees were getting high, it's that your wife wanted to move to the beach. Okay, let's take a little deeper look into this. He created the business in Denver. Created 35 jobs at Little Spider Creations, $15 to $20 an hour, making props for amusement parks, museums, haunted houses, restaurants, miniature golf courses, and so on. They fell in love with North Carolina when they went to the port city and went to North Carolina. They fell in love with the place. Back home, he'd been dealing with a nasty local government regulator and too many employees who came to work stoned after Colorado legalized marijuana. He started looking for space on Craigslist. They contacted the development corporation. Davis went and, CEO Mark Jordan of the North Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce stepped forward with a $25,000 check to help them move. Oh, okay. So we're moving to a place that's got friendlier regulations. It's got lower taxes, less cost for employees, and they're paying you $25,000 to move there. Yeah, it was the marijuana that made you want to move. Exactly. Looking deeper into the background of this fellow, Bronner began as a student at a Christian college in Idaho, where he met his wife and the youth minister at a church with an expanding roster of young people. Oh, so we're Christians, are we? We're good little Christians going to Christian college who seem to suddenly have a problem with the people using marijuana in Colorado. Yeah, that was it. No, I have a good feeling here that this guy is just looking for a way to move his company to someplace with an easier corporate climate, a little more red state, a little more in line with his Christian beliefs, somebody who was upset at what he saw happening in Colorado, that marijuana was becoming legalized, someone who probably had high employees from the very beginning, but now all pissed off that legalization happened, started to notice. It's just this story just reeks here. Here's another point in the story. Bronner is still awed at the way government education and business seemed so open and welcoming to his company. It just wasn't the experience he'd had in Colorado. Davis helped Bronner and the 6 employees he brought with him find places to rent. And Neil Wilson, president of Horry Georgetown Technical College, has talked to him about creating a degree program for the kind of talent he'll need. 80% of Little Spider's customers are along the East Coast. The big one is the Six Flags Amusement Park Empire, and Bronner said the company will save $50,000 to $60,000 in shipping costs this year. So folks, this was all about making money. It was all about profit, and it was all about some Christian businessman turning his nose up at legalization he didn't approve of.
Denial ain't just the river in Egypt.
And you know what? This is America. That's fine. Move your company. Take it out of Colorado. That's fine, because there's 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 new companies sprouting up in Colorado every month thanks to this green rush. Colorado will be better off without you anyway. We're back with some drug war data mining on the gateway drug argument when we return.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool. Groovy.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420RADIO to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. Almost 23 after the hour, and today we're taking a look at the gateway drug myth. The gateway drug myth, one of the great creations of Harry J. Anslinger all the way back in the 1930s, is the idea that if you smoke marijuana, you will lead inexorably on a path toward more dangerous drugs. Now, some gateway drug proponents do have a little bit of sense, and they'll say, well, not everybody is going to move on to heroin. But every heroin addict you ever meet will tell you they started on marijuana. That's the gateway drug in a nutshell. And politicians are still using this. Some 80 years later, still using the gateway drug to score political points. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie told a radio host, quote, marijuana is a gateway drug. No doubt about it. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh told reporters, quote, I just think it's a slippery slope. And even DARE still says, quote, marijuana is a risky gateway drug, experts say. Well, there's this website out that has put together a really cool analysis of the data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. The site is called Treatment for Addiction, and that's the number 4. You can find them at treatmentforaddiction.com. And it's a great little graphic that they've put together that shows you a particular drug and what people had taken before that drug, immediately before, and immediately after that drug. It's quite interesting, and it lines it up in kind of a visual graph sort of sense. So you can click on a drug. For example, I'll click on marijuana here, and it'll show me that about 65% of the people who used marijuana tried alcohol first. That's right. Just about 2/3 of pot smokers started
on alcohol. Doesn't that make alcohol the gateway drug? And 19% of the people in these surveys, marijuana was the first drug they ever tried. So as far as what led to their use of marijuana, it was overwhelmingly alcohol. And then looking the other direction of the graph, it shows you what was the drug that people tried right after marijuana. Interestingly enough, 40% of the people who have tried marijuana tried no further drugs. That's a pretty lousy gateway. 2 out of 5 people don't even go through it. Then they got the graph for all the rest of the stuff. 17% of the people who tried marijuana tried alcohol after marijuana. So that's 17% and another 40% who did no further drugs. So we're about to 3 out of 5 people who didn't try any other harder drug after marijuana besides alcohol. Now, there are a few people that tried cocaine, about 11%. 8% tried hallucinogens. 8% tried painkillers. 3% tried inhalants and so forth. But going all the way down there to heroin doesn't even show up on the graph, folks. People who tried heroin after marijuana doesn't even show up on the graph. And what's nice is you can click on any drug. For example, we can click on alcohol here, and that provides us a whole different graph. There were actually 9% of the people who've tried alcohol tried marijuana first. 1% tried painkillers first, and another 1% tried inhalants before alcohol. But 88% of the people, alcohol was the first drug they ever tried. And what drug did they try after alcohol? Half of them didn't try anything. About a third of them tried marijuana. Another 3% for cocaine, 3% for hallucinogens, 4% for painkillers, and so forth. And it's really interesting looking at this graph because you can find some pretty interesting anomalies. Like if you click on crack, we can find that there were no people for whom crack was the first drug they ever tried. Nobody starts with crack. But if we go to cocaine, we do find that there were 1% of the people for whom cocaine was the first drug they ever tried. That's pretty amazing, huh? So you can take a look at this again at the article is up at The Atlantic. It's called The Real Gateway Drug Isn't Marijuana. And in fact, it goes on to talk about research that shows the real gateway drug is actually nicotine. This was reported by NPR that nicotine biologically is the most potent gateway of all. The Atlantic writes, quote, "When rodents were primed with nicotine, then given cocaine, they liked the cocaine much more." So really, we ought to be more worried about cigarette use by kids, especially e-cigarette use with nicotine in it, than we should be worried about any other drug trend. And I love one of the quotes that came up on this one. This was Miriam Borey. I probably mispronounced the name. She's an associate professor of sociology at Bentley University that points out that poverty, mental illness, and friend groups are all much stronger predictors of drug use. Marijuana isn't a gateway to harder drugs in the same way that ordering an appetizer isn't a gateway to an entree. One comes before the other, but you're eating both because you're already at the restaurant. Very well put. Mark Kleiman, the Washington pot czar, once thought that it might be a gateway by introducing people to illegal behavior, but then that's an argument for making marijuana purchases legal now, isn't it?
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here at the 420 Radio booth at the High Times Cannabis Cup. It's the second day. It's Sunday, and a lovely lady has joined us here at the desk wearing an awesome hat and just looking like the Cannabis Cup participant. Introduce yourself to the audience, and she's got a ukulele. Is it ukulele? All right, she's got a ukulele going here, and she says she's got a song for us. So introduce yourself and tell us about your song.
Hi, my name is Aviva.
And Aviva.
I'm with Aviva and the Flying Penguins. And basically, I wrote a song about changing the world by legalizing hemp.
Okay.
And basically, the reason why this would change the world is because we would end our addiction to oil, which is not a renewable energy source.
No new dinosaurs to make any oil for us, folks. So you just want to go into the song or tell
sure.
more about how to... Well, we'll do all that other stuff after the song.
Yeah, I mean, I have this shirt on right now, you know, that I'm selling at this festival.
Cannabis
and
car.
If you just scan it on either button, one button, it's your... Basically, you're going to watch this really funny video.
Okay.
Or fun video about the cannabis car. The other button, you can find out how to get the song.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. Oh my goodness. Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on? You got a nice life. A nice wife. You're working hard for your money. You got a slave to survive, but the gas prices never cease to rise. Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a cannabis car? But can you run a car on cannabis? Henry Ford, he invented the design. That's right. How nice it would be to not smell like gasoline every time I take my car for a ride. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Help my ride. Do do. Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Now, some people say that oil pollutes and drilling into the ground is killing our roots. All the farmers in Iraq could be digging up food, but instead they're drilling for oil. Is it the government's rule? Oh, we can easily be a hero, so just make hemp production legal. Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want car that runs on cannabis. Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis?
Did I sing the verse about Mama Earth yet?
Well, if you didn't, you should.
And if I did, maybe I need to sing it again.
I don't know if I can remember. We're at a cannabis cup. Let me think about it.
Maybe we should just not think about it.
I agree.
But we're thinking about it because we're thinking about changing the world. Cause Mama Earth, she would agree. Use cannabis for paper and not a tree. Use cannabis for clothing instead of cotton. It even grows wild without those pesticides that give us cancer. A car that runs on cannabis. Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a cannabis car? Yeah, don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Don't you want a car that runs on cannabis? Yes, I want a car that runs on cannabis. Everybody. George Washington knew it. George Washington even grew it. Get yourself on that camera. Do 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 do. Everybody now out there listening, clap your hands. Do 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 do. Everybody here, come on, clap your hands if you want a cannabis car. Everyone here at the Cannabis Hot Times Cup. Come on. Do 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 do, yeah. Come on, clap your hands right there. Do, 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 do. Come on. Do, 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 do. Clap along. We're changing the world. You know we are. Do, 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 do. Thank you. Do, 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 do. Woo! I don't see you clapping over there. Do, 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 do. Clap your hands, everybody. We're changing the world. Visualize your dreams. Do, 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 do. I don't see you clapping over there. Come on. Do, 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 do. Clap away the negativity. Clap in the positivity. You got this. Do, do, do. The power's in your hands. The power's in your mind. You got those hands. You can clap them. Do, 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 do. You can sing too. A do, 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 do. Dude, you got it. Do, 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 do. Yeah. One more time, everybody. A do. Yeah, yeah. Freestyle. Come on. Do, 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 do. About cannabis, do do do. You know you got it. Do do do. You can't think about it. Do 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 do. Here we go. Do 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 do. Yeah.
Avila?
Aviva.
Aviva.
It's the same forwards and backwards.
You have a palindromic name. How wonderful is that? Tell folks how they can get a copy of this tune and to connect with you on the internet.
Absolutely. Go to Facebook and just look up Aviva and the Flying Penguins. We're on Facebook. We're all over the YouTube world of dimensions and all over other dimensions as well. If you are not on the YouTube world, you could just contact us, you know, Aviva and the Flying Penguins. Send us a message and we'll receive it. And you can find us on CD Baby, iTunes, Pandora, all that stuff.
All over there.
So share it because we are sharing the love.
And I do want a car that runs on cannabis.
You are going to have it. I see it in your future.
Oh, thank you. Hey, we're having a good time at the Cannabis Cup. Make sure you check out Aviva and the Flying Penguins. I'm Radical Russ for 420 Radio. Let's get back to the cup, shall we?
Thank you.
My thanks to Aviva. I want to check out her group, The Flying Penguins, as soon as I can. All sorts of fun people we met at the Cannabis Cup. I'll be posting photos to my various social media accounts. You want to check them out on Facebook or Google Plus, where I keep the photo albums. And I do believe there's a picture of Aviva in there somewhere. When we come back, we're going to talk about the dangers of fundamentalism, True Legalization Edition, in the Radical Rant. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
America's RR7 secret agent of progressive change.
The name's Belville, Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Gold finger. He's the man with the Midas touch.
All right, stay tuned. The Radical Rant is coming up after this next message from one of our sponsors. We're talking about the dangers of fundamentalism, the people who would oppose legalization just because it's not perfect. Got even more to talk about that today. Make some more friends. Be right back.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 42 after the hour, and if you listened to hour two yesterday, you know I got into some pretty heated discussions with people I call the stoners against legalization. Although, to be fair, and I don't know why I should be, but to be fair, I've decided to change their name. Because the fact is, they're not necessarily against legalization, it's just they're only for true legalization. So, I've decided now to change their name to fundamentalist legalizers. They put me in mind of the Christian fundamentalist types, the Muslim fundamentalist types, any sort of religious extremist. They have a certain ideology they hew to. They are the only ones that have the true faith. They've received the wisdom from on high from their anointed prophet, Jack Herer, and the wisdom that was contained in the holy book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, and by God, they're going to stick to it. And this fundamentalism has so much in common with the religious fundamentalists that I run into, and maybe that's why I get so steamed about it, so angry about it. This inability to compromise, to be flexible, to recognize political realities necessary to actually enact change. It's encapsulated here. Here's a perfect example. One of the comments I got back on Facebook from a woman who writes, and remember, when you write in all capital letters, that's shouting. So I'll approximate that for you. To compare Washington and Colorado's campaigns to California's decades-old legalization attempts is unbelievably undermining the collective intelligence and sophistication of California voters, where it is our number one cash crop and the genesis of cannabis subculture, as it has been embedded in our way of life for decades. We will not stand for a Colorado or Washington model. Lastly, this rhetoric about soccer moms not wanting a plant limit has absolutely no credibility. I, for one, a soccer mom, would want to grow and can my own tomatoes, and now cannabis for my own consumption, and am not concerned about a neighbor growing his or her own. That is the spoon-fed rhetoric of special interest groups that stand to make billions off an industry turned into an agricultural oligopoly. And you want to go down in history books as the public figure that churned out that passed its dogma and played out talking points? Weak! Argument that you gobbled up yourself, don't choke on the bones of its skeletal transparency. Okay, so is a perfect example of what I'm talking about this fundamentalist mindset, right? This genesis of cannabis subculture has been embedded in our way of life for decades. We will not stand for a Colorado or Washington model. Why? Because people in Colorado and Washington have legal jobs and are producing tax revenue for the state and can possess and produce cannabis without being prosecuted? That's bad? And this part about, well, I'm a soccer mom and I think everybody should be able to grow without limits, tomatoes or cannabis. Folks, fundamentalists, I should say, when will you get it through your thick skull that marijuana ain't tomatoes? Nobody's worried about your kid or their kid. Nobody's worried about their kid hopping your fence to steal your tomatoes. No voter is sitting out there going, gosh, if there were tomatoes planted all over people's backyards, there'd be chaos. There'd be kids making ketchup in school, whatever the hell it would be, right? Can we at least admit to the objective fact that marijuana is a mind and mood altering substance? I don't think it should be treated like plutonium. I don't even think it should be treated like alcohol. I think it should be treated less restrictively than that. But I also understand political realities that where we're going to get with our vision of marijuana as it should be can't be achieved in one fell swoop. And that to attempt to achieve it in one fell swoop and to actively fight against the more incremental efforts to make that progress takes us backward. That's the whole thing I'm trying to impart here. Now, I do get a little upset when I know that there are people out there working hard, putting in money and time on an effort that is doomed to fail. I've been that guy. I put effort and time and reputation into Measure 80 in Oregon in 2012 that I knew was doomed to fail. But I was a good soldier and I fought for it because you know what? It was on the ballot. Because you know what? This is a drug war and we are an army. And armies stick together and follow orders and achieve the mission. Even when you don't necessarily like the orders, even when you don't understand the mission. When marijuana legalization made the ballot in 2012, even though it was proposed by a guy that I personally dislike, even though I thought it was pie in the sky fantasy land that it would ever pass, even though supporting this measure kind of put me in a position of personal kind of hypocrisy because I had so valiantly or so loudly claimed it would never make the ballot and end up making the ballot, I had to eat some crow on that one. And I did. And I went forward and I supported the damn thing and made commercials for the damn thing and did speeches and presentations for the damn thing, knowing it would lose. So I understand that feeling of being dedicated to a losing cause, of being dedicated to an ideal. I totally get it. And it's your life and it's your money and it's your time to spend. So long as you're fighting for legalization, I can be tolerant. I can tolerate the fact that there's a CCHI working hard on something that will go nowhere. So what? They're not harming anything. Except for maybe you might cast a little bit of harm that comes from if they were spending their time and their money and their effort on something that had a chance in hell. That might be better. But that's a passive harm, right? They're not actively harming. And then there's the problem of, you know, these other groups that cast these pie in the sky ideals, and they haul in the gullible, the young, the uneducated, the ignorant, who say, yeah, that's true legalization. I'm all for that. And they said, well, gosh, if we only get each person who supports it to get two more people to support it, and gosh, if only every Facebook like gave $5, why, gee, we'd be able to have true legalization. So there's that harm. There's that harm of diverting that young, eager, volunteer talent that could be put to work on something that actually has a chance in changing the law, being squandered on something that has no shot in hell. There's that. But even that I can tolerate. Even that I'm not too upset with, because, hey, you know, it's America. Free speech, free association, different competing marketplace of ideas. I love it. Where I get really pissed is when they start saying, yes, I support this one, and if this one doesn't make it, I'll oppose all the others that do. That's where the problem happens. That's where I start to get upset. So, you know, fight for CCHI all you like. Fight for Ohio Rights Group, or who else is out there? Responsible Ohioans for Cannabis, or OTEP, or MCLR in California, or CCCA, or whatever it's called now, CCCI, or whatever. Fight for any of them, that's fine. Before anybody's made the ballot, great. Competing ideas, that's politics, that's democracy. But when a marijuana legalization makes the ballot, when there's something that we're voting on that decides whether or not a cop can take my liberty and my possessions and possibly shoot my dog Roscoe in doing so, when that's on the ballot and you vow to defeat that, you are no better than Kevin Sabet. You're no better than the DEA. You're no better than the prison guards, and you're no better than the sheriffs and the law enforcement and the rehabbers and the drug testers and everyone else who's going to be voting against it with you. That's where I get fundamentalist, is when it hits the ballot. When there's actual chance to change the world, and you would stand and thwart that progress because it's not progress enough for you, that's where we got a problem. That's where I'm going to focus all of my energy, attention, analysis, and political capital into exposing the fairy tales for what they are. There was a little more tolerance for this prior to anyone ever legalizing. Before anyone ever legalized, it was all theory. Had no idea. We thought that you'd have to have professional signature gatherers, professional campaigns, buttloads of money, backing from soccer moms and law enforcement professionals, and a public safety message. We thought that's what would win, but it was just theory. Maybe a grassroots campaign could win, run all by volunteers, promising complete and total legalization, because again, at that point, it was just theory. But it's not theory anymore, people. Four states have passed marijuana legalization now, and they all did it the same way. Now, they all have different language, quite different language in all four states, but they all did the same, they all played by the same playbook. And the first step in the playbook is that you don't start with the legalization you want. You start with the legalization a majority of the voters you poll will support. If it were up to me, if legalization were up to me, marijuana would be legal in personal amounts. Personal amounts would be defined as amounts not being used commercially. I'd be pretty much for an open limit. Nobody tells me how much beer I can have in my fridge is a personal amount. There's limits on how much beer I can brew at home. It's like 100, 200 gallons. So I suppose 100 plant personal garden would be okay. Sure. If I were designing the perfect legalization, the age would be 18 with a diploma or GED, 21 without. I'd give some incentive for them kids to stay in school if they want to smoke weed legally when they're 18. Hell, you know, I might make it diploma or 21. You get your diploma at age 17, I'd let you smoke pot. If I were writing these laws, the taxes would be kept low and they'd be exacted by weight to promote the movement of product rather than the maintaining of prices. But when we go to the ballot box on election day, Russ Belville is not the only voter. And neither are you. There's a whole bunch of people out there that are voters, disproportionately older people who are voters. Disproportionately the people who don't support marijuana legalization. And of the people that do support marijuana legalization, they support it in a very kind of limited trade-off sort of way. They're not into legalizing marijuana because they think marijuana is all hip and cool and wonderful and isn't it great and it's the healing power of the nations and hemp will save the planet. That's not why they're voting for legalization. They're voting for legalization because they've seen that 40, 50, 60 years of prohibition of it is a failure. They've seen that people that smoke pot, while they're annoying and smelly and whatever other stereotypes they might associate with us, at least they're not criminals. They're not meth heads. They're not crack addicts. They're not heroin junkies. They're not really causing a lot of problem. And I don't want to spend our cops' time or money anymore busting them. That's why a lot of those people in the middle are voting for legalization. And the minute you step out there with your fundamentalist garb on, with your all-hemp suit saying, hemp will save the planet, it'll cure cancer, we'll legalize it, we'll fund all the schools, everything will be hunky-dory, and let's give people 99 plants and 12 pounds, you lose all those older people right off the bat. A lot of those people in the middle go, wait, what, 99 plants? At someone's home? You mean like the guy who has a house that abuts my kid's school could plant his entire backyard in pot? That's what you're saying I'm legalizing? These fundamentalists don't understand that you have to win the majority and that you're going to face opponents who will lie and mischaracterize what you're trying to do. For example, suppose CCHI made the ballot. I mean, let's, you know, clap three times for Tinkerbell to stay alive and click our heels and say there's no place like home and leave some cookies out for Santa and maybe CCHI makes the ballot. What do you suppose the first attack ad funded by Sheldon Adelson's money is going to say? Legalizers in California want to make it so pot farms can be put right next to your kid's school. They want to legalize enough marijuana for a person to keep 13,000 joints right next to your kid's school. And that's going to sway a lot of people. That's going to change a lot of minds. So another problem that we've got here is, what is the definition of legalization? These fundamentalist legalizers have that problem. Well, legalization, according to the dictionary, is the process of removing a legal prohibition against something which is currently not legal. And the important word in that definition, folks, process. This is a process, folks. When alcohol was first legalized, it was legalized as 3-2 beer and you couldn't brew your own at home. And over time, more powerful forms got legalized, got the right to home brew. More and more states dropped their dry prohibitions. More and more counties dropped their prohibitions. Prohibitions against advertising got lifted a bit. These are processes that we're working through. CCHI is a great vision for where we should end up. But we can't start there. We've got to start with something the people will pass. And 2016 California is so important, we can't afford to fuck off this one. We can't afford a bunch of hippie dippies ruining this shot.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.